going to sneak in Ed Lamb and push back the Big Show a little bit. One of our favorite conversations, and if nothing else, it allows Ed to go on the air and say something about Hans, who decided to go on vacation this week instead of hanging out down here. How are you?
Awesome. I'm really good, thanks. Yeah, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. You know, Hans booked it back in March. He's got to get away for a little bit. But
sure.
What was spring like? How you guys look?
Really, I think the momentum from last season, you know, the challenge of keeping that going and keeping the hunger, but yet also transitioning like, hey, what's done is done. We haven't got a single first down this year yet, haven't had a single stop. I think that's there with the players. We won't know for sure until we see them play, but I see all the signs that I feel like I want to see as far as a motivated, skilled team that with a high level of readiness.
As a safety coach, talk about the defensive backfield and what you think that'll look like this year.
Yeah, you know, we really have a lot of development that has taken place with the corners, and I think we're in a good spot. You know, Chris Wilcox is the first of, I think, many guys to get an opportunity at the next level, and guys, you know, they still have to produce and perform, and so I don't want to get too ahead of their journey, but you talk about, you know, Keenan Ellis and D'Angelo Mandel and Isaiah Heron, and then there's young guys in that mix too, you know, that younger guys that are stepping in after that, but those are kind of the next, you know, three guys that I think are going to really excel. We've got experience in the secondary with Chaz IU moving to safety. Malik Moore and Hayden Livingston have played a lot at safety, and there's young guys behind them that had great springs like Ammon Hanneman and Talon Alfrey and even JaVale Brown, I thought, took a big step forward. A lot of talent in the secondary. We've got to get it done, and that'll be the challenge. But, again, you know, where I would like to see him right now, feel pretty good.
How's Chaz handled that transition?
Oh, he's a ball player. He's one of those athletes like, okay, you know, hey, Chaz, have you ever played racquetball? Like, no. Okay, well, let's go play. And, like, he you know, he still win. Like, he's one of those guys.
Get him on a golf course, and he's like a 4 handicap.
Yeah. Hand-eye coordination, spatial awareness. There are things that he does, you know, when I was coaching backers and he was with us, there's things that he does that I really couldn't take credit for. You know, he has an excellent spatial awareness, hand-eye coordination.
When you talk about, momentum, can you see – momentum from the end of the season translate into spring and then into fall camp as well based on how you ended the season before?
Sure. I think it can – to me, it usually goes one of two ways. It's either a motivator or a demotivator. And by demotivation, I mean, you know, guys start to take for granted like, oh, it's just talent. But one of the advantages of having a great season and then losing a bunch of key players is that our players see that too. And it's a challenge to them. And they understand really how hard Zach Wilson worked, how hard Kyrus Tonga worked, how hard Chris Wilcox worked, all these guys, Dax Milne coming from nowhere as a walk-on, Brady Christensen, one offer, you know, BYU, one FBS offer. So incredible stories, and our guys know the whole backstory, and they know it's about hard work, and I think the momentum from last season will carry strong through this season.
When you talk to a walk-on or you talk to a guy that wasn't heavily recruited, I got to imagine those stories resonate when you talk about guys that have success at BYU because – you know what? If you make plays, you're going to get out on the field regardless of how many stars were next to your name.
Absolutely. You ought to see the motivation, the realization in our cornerback room when all these corners were recruited. I'm going to talk right here. I'm going to give you the collective offers besides BYU, FBS offers for Chris Wilcox, D'Angelo Mandel, Isaiah Heron, Keenan Ellis. The collective other offers is zero. George Udo, another guy in that group. Yeah, they had zero other FBS offers. And to see what Chris did, and we've been preaching it since Chris was a freshman, what we saw is his potential, what we thought he could accomplish if he worked hard. And these other guys have all just kind of – they've bought in, and they're the next crop. And you know, we often play teams after the UCF game. The head coach approached us and said, where are you guys finding these corners? You know, like they're playing man-to-man out there at a high level. And really excited. Just it's work. They've worked, and certainly we had a vision, and we feel good about where they're going, and we're not at the finish line yet, but just love the work that those guys have put in.
So how many times are you out on the recruiting trail and you guys decide to offer a guy and it's early, and then all of a sudden he's got like 10 more offers right after you guys? You're like, well, BYU offered, he must be pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know, there's some truth to that. If you follow recruiting, you know that really what it's become over the last two decades is just more and more and more and more. And by more, in most cases, I'm talking more phone calls, more handwritten notes, more social media now in the last decade. For us, that more looks a little different. That more means keep finding more and more guys that fit our mold. And it gets harder and harder because – you know, people are starting to follow around Gennaro Guilford's recruits now. You know, people are starting to, if BYU offers them, then it looks like a good prospect for them, maybe.
How much of that, Because, you know, when you're at Southern Utah, you're projecting. You know, yeah. You know, the kids that are the four-star kids, they're going other places. But you're looking at a kid like, okay, well, here's what he looks like now. This is what his dad looks like. He's going on a mission. I can project that the body's going to do this here in about 2 or 3 years. How much do you guys rely on that to be successful in finding these guys?
Great insight. So here's the deal. We you know, as far as being able to stand toe-to-toe and recruit against the Pac-12, there are some kids that grew up BYU fans we can do that with, but consistently we can't do that. So our projected starting two tackles, Blake Freeland and Harris LeChance, those guys didn't play offensive line in high school. That was a quarterback and a defensive end. Our best three linebackers right now, Max Tooley, Keenan Peely, Peyton Wilgar, they were all safeties in high school. I mentioned our corners and the lack of offers that they had. This thing for us is all about projection. Now, if we can jump in and recruit a five-star, four-star kid, a Chaz IU occasionally, we're going to give it our all. We're going to take our best swings. But to equate, you know, success with writing more handwritten letters or making more phone calls or in-home visits, a real skill for a BYU coaching staff, I'm sure Bronco and his staff are very well aware of this, is you have to quickly ascertain, do we have a legitimate shot at this guy?
What's life like now that the dead period's over?
Well, it's been great to be able to have more face-to-face interaction with everybody. With you here and just everything. It's just to see it open up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, it was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel of all these COVID measures for safety, and now we're standing in the light, and hopefully there's not any setbacks, and we're able to keep marching forward. But that's what we live for. You know, the idea is to play football as long as we can and then coach football as long as we can so we can be around it and the boys and the young men, and it keeps us young. And we're able to kind of do that now at a better level than we were for several months.
I from a coaching standpoint, now that I don't want to jinx it, but it appears we're kind of on the back end of this COVID nonsense, but you talk to a lot of coaches across the country. I'm sure you're having conversations week to week. There's teams that are playing 4 games, 5 games, but you guys were able to squeeze in 11 games and a bowl game. I mean, I think that was a remarkable accomplishment. I thought Tom did a heck of a job putting that together. But what was it like going week to week, not sure who was going to be out on the field for you, if you're even going to be able to play a game, you know, a last-minute ad with Coastal Carolina?
Yeah.
From a coaching standpoint, what was that like?
Hey, I'll credit Tom. You mentioned it, but I'll just back up on that. I mean, he led the way for the coaches and the team. You know, it was, okay, how many tests are you requiring to play, you guys? We're going to test every day. Okay, let's go. And invested the money. And at every turn, it was add games. And what a blessing. You know, just on a personal level, I've got a nephew up in Seattle who's a great little soccer player. He's on the competitive teams and all that. And he was going through chemotherapy. And, you know, they took soccer away from him. The communities did, and when they took it away, and that was the one thing he was living for. The doctor said he could continue to play soccer through his chemo, and all of a sudden he had no, you know, he was chemo and no soccer. And he's fine, by the way. Yeah. Actually, I didn't want to move on without telling the end of that story. He's fine and recovered.
I didn't want to ask the follow up.
He's done great. I started to feel like I was going down a dark tunnel there, but just one example. And there's millions of them around the world. Unintended consequences of these safety measures and which, you know, I'm not getting political on that we do what's best for the community and what's recommended by the current doctors. But the players and Tom Holmoe, they just kept jumping through hoops. We put together a season, and what a bright spot in a year of, you know, otherwise a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Well, hey, always good to catch up with you. You're one of our favorites, and look forward to catching up with you again throughout the season, and good luck. It should be a fun run this year.
Thanks for what you do. Glad to be with you.